Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all. Yesterday in our study of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, we were taught that the goal of Christians to be consistent and well-doing in all areas of our lives. Let's continue with that thought today. And now, here is our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Our goal is to be men of note by the distinction of a consistent well-doing. Men and women who are on a steady working diet that works the works of Him that sent us, obeys His word in all areas of life. And to do that, we need to be men of direction. You see, the peace at Thessalonica had been disturbed. The church at Thessalonica had teachers of error. They had false teaching of prophecy. They had terrible persecution. And now there were members of the church who would not work a job to earn a living, who instead expected the church to give a handout. And if that wasn't enough, they had busybodies sticking their nose in the business of others, seeking only for an audience. Well, how do you get peace in a church like that? Well, verse 16 says, "Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always, by all means. The Lord be with you all." You see, peace comes through the one who gives it. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's not going to give it if we're not going to obey him, as we see the things in this word. And we see some evidence of this in verses 17 and 18. "The salutation of Paul with mine own hand, which is the token in every epistle, so I write, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." Well, my friend, people used to ask, how do we know the Holy Spirit used Paul to write the book of Hebrews? Well, understand, it was the Holy Spirit's words, not Paul's. But one reason it may have been Paul is because he said a salutation in every epistle was to say the grace, to wish grace unto the people of God. Now, I had one man says, "Well, I don't see his name Paul." And he said Paul was his salutation. No, the name, writing his name was not a salutation. The salutation was the wishing or the bestowing of grace upon others and grace to you. And so by that, I believe that probably he was the one that God used to write the book of Hebrews. Now, I accept the book of Hebrews as word for word the word of God. So whether God used Paul or Peter or Titus or Luke or whomever, to me, the important thing is to know that it is the word of God. So his token in every epistle is the idea of expressing his desire for the grace of God to be with those to whom he has written. But that goes back to the point that there is no true peace without God's grace. Now, in five other places in the New Testament, he is called the God of peace. And he grants peace only through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." In 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 21, it says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You see, God makes peace with us, but not through compromising any of his holiness or righteousness. We must trust in the shed blood of Jesus Christ for our sins and his resurrection from the dead. And we are reconciled to him in peace by allowing him to cleanse us from sin. You know, that's what repentance is about, is willing for him to take my sin away. Too many people say, no, I don't want him to take my sin away. I don't want him to take that from me. I don't want to lose that. And my friend, if that's your thought, well, you're not repenting. And you're saying, well, look, I want to hold on to my sin, and I want Jesus to save me. It doesn't work like that. You see, Jesus did all the work for salvation. You can't work for it. You can't earn it. However, God will bestow it freely of his grace to you if you're willing for him to cleanse you of your sin. And you call upon him, believing that indeed he died for every sin you ever have or ever will commit, and 3 days later rose up from the dead. And he'll save you. Now, I'd like for Christians to become good men of note, men who are hard workers, people that are hard workers. I don't like to see Christians that just go through the motions on the job and don't see jobs to completion, because it's a reflection for their love of God. But my friend, that Christian is much better off than the person without Christ. I want to ask you, do you know that if you died today, that heaven's your home? If your answer is yes, my next question would be, how do you know? If your answer is, well, I joined the church, I was baptized, I was confirmed, I'm doing the best I can. Hey, I haven't done anything bad to anybody. I've not been as bad as some people at church. Hey, I try to do good works. Listen, none of those things will take you to heaven. Only Jesus Christ takes you to heaven. That is why Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. It's also why we read in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12 that there is none other name given among men whereby you must be saved. How do you get to heaven? Maybe the right question that you need to know the answer to, and it's this. First of all, realize that you are a sinner. Romans 3:10 says, there is none righteous, no, not one. And my friend, that includes this preacher. There is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Didn't necessarily say that all have done a terrible sin like murder, child abuse. No, it just says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And again, that includes me, and that includes you. And we've come short of the glory of God. Quit comparing yourselves to hypocrites in church, because you're not compared to them from God's standpoint, who is the judge. He compares you to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you fall so far short of him, as I do, that you're not going to be able to make it to heaven on being compared to him. No, you need a Savior, and Jesus Christ, who loves you, is that Savior. Be willing for him to cleanse you from your sin. Acts 17:30, it says that God commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he's appointed a day in which he will judge the world by that man whom he hath raised from the dead, the Lord Jesus Christ, my friend. And so understand that you must be willing for God to take your sin away from you. Then believing that Jesus Christ, when he was on the cross, was shedding his blood for every sin you ever have or ever will commit. And there he died for you, and 3 days later rose up bodily, physically, from the dead. Believing that he did that for you, you call upon him to save you. Romans 10:9 says that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. My friend, God will save you. That's his promise. And you can be saved right now. Won't you receive him? Call upon him. I'm going to form a prayer, and the prayer that I form will only be words if you don't mean it. But if you mean it, and you want to call upon him to save you, then pray this, meaning it from your heart. Dear God, I know I'm a sinner and deserve to go to hell. Forgive me of my sins. I believe that Jesus Christ shed his blood on the cross for my sin and rose up from the dead. I right now invite Jesus Christ to come into my heart and my life as my Lord, as my God, as my Savior. Cleanse me and save me right now. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, my friend, if you just prayed that prayer and you meant it, then I want to ask you to write us and let us know. I want to send those who we can send it to the booklet Building Blocks that will help them to grow in their new Christian life. It will give them instruction from God's Word on various doctrines as well as how to live the Christian life. And I want you to have that absolutely free. And our message today concludes 2 Thessalonians. Our next between the series will be a three-part series that I have that's really just short. Might take about 2 weeks to do it, but we're going to do it right here, a short one from Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20 on the Great Commission. And I think that if you'll listen to this, you'll learn some things that perhaps you hadn't heard. Most preaching from Matthew 18, 28, 18 through 20 just says, hey, you need to hear this and you need to be a witness. Well, this says just a little bit more than telling you you need to be a witness, which you do. But it tells you much more as we go through those verses and explain some great teachings from those three short verses. And I hope that you'll be with us in our next broadcast as we start that study. And then following that, we're going to study the book of Revelation, and I hope that you'll be a part of that. You folks that are listening to us right now by way of Internet, oh, why don't you click onto our website that our announcer will be giving to you in just a moment, and click on to the areas that will take you under the staff and take you to me, and you can click on to my email and email me. I want to hear from you, and I want to know if 2 Thessalonians was a blessing to you. And I see that my time is up. I do thank you for listening today to the Lamp and Light broadcast. I trust that you'll ask your friends to listen in, because that's how the lamp and light grows. And my friend, please allow the lamp of God's Word to be the light that you follow today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5. 2, Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click to the lamp and light. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no break. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all. that are in Christ Jesus.